imagine there's no America. It's easy if you try. Just a big Muslim mess. No stars and stripes to fly. Imagine all our people living country music. Isn't that hard to do? No baseball or hot dogs. As far as freedom goes, we're screwed. Imagine all our pretty girls wearing those awful black sheets. You may say I'm a doom and gloomer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll wake the heck up, and the nation will be strong. Imagine there are no possessions. That's the Muslim plan. It's a veritable sucker stand. Imagine all our people losing all we have. You may say I'm a doom and gloomer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll wake the hell up, and our nation will be strong. You may say I'm a doom and gloomer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll wake the hell up, and our nation will be strong.
Hello, welcome to Civilization Jihad, the show where truth wins every time. So what are we talking about when we use that term, Civilization Jihad? We're talking about a term created by the Muslim Brotherhood back in the 1990s when they wanted to describe their war against North America. This document was discovered thanks to a police officer doing his job, catching one of the leaders of the Muslim Brotherhood at the time, who had his wife taking pictures of the Chesapeake Bay Bridge support structure. So he got caught, and as a result, we obtained a document of the Muslim Brotherhood in North America. And in this one document out of the 93 bankers' boxes of documents, this one really stands out. It's called the Explanatory Memorandum, and it was used in the 2007 trial of the United States versus the Holy Land Foundation, which was the largest terror financing trial the United States has ever had. So let me read you that one paragraph from that. This is their writing. The process of settlement is a civilization jihadist process with all the word means. The Ikhwan must understand that their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within and sabotaging its miserable house by their hands and the hands of the believers so that it is eliminated and God's religion is made victorious over all other religions. Without this level of understanding, we are not up to this challenge and have not prepared ourselves for jihad yet. It is a Muslim's destiny to perform jihad and work wherever he is and wherever he lands until the final hour comes. And there is no escape from that destiny for those who choose to slack. But would the slackers and the mujahideen be equal? Now, what does this mean? It means that they have declared a war against us. And that is one of the things I am trying to get the federal government to recognize, that an entity within the United States has declared a war against the United States. So I want to get into, we have, I believe our guest is on. So today we have IQ Rasuli with us, and I asked him to come on to talk particularly, and I'm looking for my intro sheet. I got too many things going too late. I hate when I don't get myself organized before a show, which is not normal of me. Okay, here we go. I asked IQ Rasuli to join us and to talk about deception and Muslims and deception. And there's a reason why I asked that is because a lot of what we're encountering today during Ramadan in particular, and I've just come across several news articles where deception, particularly with quote interfaith church movements and other things where they come in and speak to non-Muslims, are just full of lies. And they're also using this taqiyya and terms that they use for lying to non-Muslims are being used for the purpose of deceiving other Muslims they do not consider Muslim enough. So I want to introduce to you a man named IQ Al-Rasuli. He's an Iraqi exile, Arabic speaker, scholar, and author. He asserts the Quran is not a holy book, just as we do here. They call it a holy book, but you know the funny thing is it says the generous Quran, not the. There's nothing holy about something generous. It just might be good and generous, but it's not even generous when you read it. His name is an alias he has to use because of his boldness to speak out against Islam and the Quran. He receives many death threats from Muslims. IQ has been interviewed on over 1,300 talk shows. He's been a regular guest on many. And I'm going to talk to you, see, his bio. He left Iraq as a young man to study abroad at university. IQ took an advantage of opportunity to study, compare the Bible to the Quran. What he discovered shocked him and set him on a 30-year examination of the Quran, Hadith, and Arab and Islamic histories, Arab-Israeli conflict, the Hebrew Bible, the New Testament, Zoroastrian religion, and pagan Arab religions. He resolved to dedicate his extensive knowledge to the mission of saving Western civilization by exposing the facts and reality of Islam to a Quran-ignorant world based on the primary Arabic language sources themselves. He laments, the greatest tragedy in the West for the last 65 years has been self-destructive political correct regarding any and all facts about Islam. We are witnessing the conquest of the civilized world by Islam through stealth jihad aided and abetted by our treasonous leaders. Humanity is seemingly heading to a nuclear World War III because of the inability of unwillingness of our leaders to understand the fundamentals of Islam, though they are crystal clear. Without any further ado, welcome IQ Rasuli.
Hello, IQ. Thank you for having me. Can you hear me?
I was hoping. Yes, I can. Thank you. I was very concerned. Your number shows up as all one, so I wasn't sure what that meant, but I was just figuring it had to be you. So thank you for joining us.
It's my pleasure.
And I want to say I'm this particular week with Ramadan has been I haven't even printed off all the news stories just because I got home late, but I'll tell you, this week has really grated on my nerves because they've been using Ramadan as an excuse to kill children. And there's two children to kill their daughters.
They have murdered 571 people.
Yes, and among them are children. And
yes.
It's to me that I feel like spitting and throwing up at the same time. I'm just so disgusted this week. We arranged this a long time, about a month or two ago, and I had no idea I would be this angry, disgusted at this point. I mean, there's so many news stories I don't want to read just because they're so horror-filled right now. But let's talk about that term Takiya and how they're using deception. What is their rationale for it? And
may I give
how
you
can
a
they
background
justify
first?
Yes.
Do you mind if I start with some background?
Please do.
I would like to bring to the attention of Americans that Muhammad's Quran prohibits Muslims from ever questioning anything in their scripture. Hence, 90% of Muslims either do not speak Arabic or do not bother to study their books. Moreover, these figures are even worse when dealing with non-Muslims, 98% of whom are Quran and Hadith ignorant. So much so that Muslims have been able to deceive most of humanity with the following four of the most egregious lies that have ever been insinuated into the human consciousness. That Islam means peace, when in fact it only means submission. That Allah is the same as the God of the Bible, which He most assuredly is not. That Islam is a religion, when in fact it's a cult, the cult of Muhammad. And last but not least, that jihad is a spiritual struggle to commune with God, when it most certainly is the sixth and most important pillar of Islam. Now, you mentioned the word taqiyya. Taqiyya is an Arabic word in the Quran, whereby it allows the Muslim, the follower of Muhammad, when they are in a minority, that means among non-Muslims, whether Christians, Jews, Buddhists, or Hindus, to pretend that they are part and parcel of that society, when in fact their sole purpose of Muslims is to deceive and undermine every single entity on earth. Why? Because the single purpose of every Muslim for the last 1400 years is one purpose: to make Sharia of Islam the dominant and only power on earth. You know, people, they can hear this from here to eternity. They won't believe unless they go and read the Quran. But people don't even bother to read the Quran. I've always said on my talk shows, over 1,357 so far, don't buy the Quran. Don't bother to spend the money. Google it. Read it in English. Read only. There are 114 chapters. Don't bother to read all 114 chapters. All you need to do is read chapters 2 to chapter 9 inclusive. And if you come to any conclusion opposite to mine, you should be put in a mental asylum. I'll give you an example, because listeners will only appreciate what we're talking about when I quote to you and recite to you from the Quran. Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse 51. Quran says, O ye who believe, Muslims, not the Jews, Yahud in Arabic, and the Christians, Nasara, for your friends and protectors. They're but friends and protectors to each other. And he amongst you Muslims that turn to them for friendship is of them. Ladies and gentlemen, the implications of the last sentence is of immense importance, and I repeat it. And he amongst you Muslims that turn to them, that means Jews and Christians, for friendship, is of them, means that any followers of Muhammad who befriend or under the rule of Christians or Jews or any non-Muslim group would be considered apostates to Islam, outsiders to Islam, enemies of Islam who must be slaughtered. In a nutshell, no Muslim in the USA or any other non-Muslim country can ever be loyal to the American Constitution, because it is man-made, not from Allah Sharia. Nor can any Muslim in the USA or any non-Muslim country be a loyal citizen, because non-Muslim Americans are called infidels, kuffar, unbelievers, kafirun, to be either subjugated to Sharia or exterminated. Sounds very heavy, doesn't it? Back to you, sir.
Now, this is the question I think that it has to be asked. I mean, if they can't be loyal to a country that they enter, what is this insanity that countries are exhibiting by willingly taking them in? I mean, why would anybody do this? I mean, it's right there. It's right there in their statements of – basically in their statements of faith. They will lie to us.
You are absolutely
it's gotta be
right.
Total ignorance. It's got to be total ignorance on the part of the leaders or
– No, no. It's criminal negligence. It's not
yes.
ignorance.
Yes.
It is criminal negligence bordering on treason. Look, for 1,400 years, the Muslims have only one declaration, and they repeat it every single Friday in every single mosque in every country on the planet Earth. And the intention is that Islam must overrule every other religion or exterminate it. It's public. You're asking me, how is it possible for a rational person to inject oneself with the HIV virus and say to himself, nothing will happen to me? But that is exactly what the European leaders have been doing. This is exactly what Obama did in 8 years. But Obama, I can understand, because he's a Muslim. So all he was doing is bringing more Muslims to destroy America. That I understand. What I can't understand and cannot even begin to rationalize, how is it possible that the European leaders willingly embrace 1.5 million Muslims, unregistered, undocumented, and they say they are going to contribute to European society? I dare them $1 million. I dare anybody listening $1 million to prove anything I say is wrong. Can't be done. A Muslim cannot ever be a loyal citizen among non-Muslims. It's prohibited in the Quran. Now, taqiyya, as I said, is used by Muslims when they are a minority. When they are 1%, 2%, 3% of the population, you are good Muslims. But when they are 5 to 10%, they start demanding Sharia. They start demanding to be allowed to have genital mutilation. They want to have mosques and with minarets, and they are allowed to shout from the minaret through speakers. I'm talking about loudspeakers. And we allow them. And yet, this is the most remarkable thing. Not a single Christian, not a single Hindu, Buddhist, or Jew is allowed to build any of their temples or churches in their country. Now tell me, where is the rational thinking? There is no rational thinking.
And this week, Sweden's Senate rejected a bill that was before them to declare foreign funding of mosques illegal. And
correct. I know.
And they chose to drop it.
The first country in Europe that will become Muslim is Sweden.
Denmark was on a pace to be ahead of them. Yeah, Denmark was on a pace to be ahead of them within 20 years. But it looks like Sweden is going to be the country that we have to watch first, because they are making more accommodations than sanity would allow. Any sanity. And this is something to watch. The constant – they are in – one of the articles I will be reading later today is by a Swedish politician, and he has made an open public statement that they are currently in a civil war. And that is...
Not yet. No. He's exaggerating with all due respect. Europe, there will be a civil war in Europe, by the way. We are heading to a civil war because I live in Europe. We are heading to a civil war between the indigenous people of Europe and the Muslim immigrants. There's absolutely no choice in the matter. I'll tell you what's happening. Because the trouble with the United States of America is that you have what Trump always called the fake news media. By the way, the greatest enemy of the United States of America is not Islam. For simple reason, the Muslims tell you, you have a choice to convert to Islam, submit to Sharia, or be exterminated. So you already know where you stand. Your worst enemy is your news media, who tell you otherwise. They undermine the will of the American people. They undermine the will of Trump. They deceive you more than the Muslims deceive you. I'm not exaggerating, because I've been dealing for the last, 14 years, making phone calls and dealing with Americans in radio talk shows, 150 radio talk shows. I've done 1,350 in 150 different ones. And the level of ignorance of Islam is mind-boggling. And yet it is so simple. All you have to do is Google Quran, don't buy it, and read the first 8 chapters from chapter 2 to chapter 9. You will know more about Islam in 2.5 hours than millions of Muslims. The tragedy is this. The news media in Europe and news media in America are exactly the same. They are treasonous. They are subservient to the elite. In Europe, Donald Trump was sitting with the G7. You saw the picture? He is sitting. All of them were standing all around him. And he wouldn't budge. I admire a man who stands by his words, who stands by his principles. He said, we have to have borders. By the way, no nation on earth is a nation without borders. There is no such thing as a nation without borders. The minute you lose the borders, you lost the nation. Muslims have one single, it's so important our listeners understand this. This is not racism. Islam is not a race. By the way, the ones you said that IQ Rasuli is against Islam, it's the wrong wording. I'm not against Islam. All I do is I reveal the facts about Islam. Robert Spencer is an American. Brigitte Gabriel is an American citizen. They all reveal the facts about Islam. Not a single one of them is against Islam or Muslims. We are against the contents of the Quran. We are against the contents of Islamic Sharia. But we are not telling the lies. We are revealing the facts. We are telling the American people exactly what Islam means. They tell you Islam means peace. It's a lie. When President Bush said that after 9/11, I couldn't believe what I heard. I couldn't believe that the President of the United States of America would associate Islam peace. But he did. And that was a mistake, a huge mistake. Because anybody who knows anything about the Arabic language, the verb of Islam is aslama. Aslama means submission. Then every Muslim tells you they believe in God. They always use the word God, by the way. That's taqiyya, that's deception. Why? In the Quran, the Quran doesn't speak about God. The Quran speaks about Allah. And Allah is not the same as the God of the Bible. Have you ever heard that before? That Allah is not the same as the God of the Bible? I'm telling you, nobody heard that.
I teach that, and everybody affiliated with this network teaches that. So at least the people will get an education if they're listening to Global Patriot Radio. It's unfortunate that they are allowed to use that. This is where we're getting into the fakeness, the deception of getting into interfaith, where they're saying that they worship the same God, and their God is
the same God.
Nothing like the God of the Hebrews and the Christians.
No. You see, we can always use words like this, but can anybody prove it? Can you hear me?
Okay,
hello?
IQ, can you start again? You dropped out. We didn't hear you. Hello?
Can you hear me now?
IQ?
Hello? Can you hear
Uh-oh.
Me?
Looks like we might be having a bad connection. Yeah. Can you hear me, IQ?
I can hear you. Can you hear me? Hello? Hello? Hello?
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please hold and you will be able to listen to the show.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? I don't know what happened, but they blocked both of us out, and I think, IQ, are you back? Let's see.
Can you hear me?
IQ, are you there? I don't know what happened. They dropped both of us. Thank you for calling back in. Maybe it's they're too afraid of what we're going to say that they decided we shouldn't talk about things like interfaith movements with the deception of that Islam brings there. Can you talk about that, how they're bringing deception into interfaith groups?
Yes. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Hello?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. Jihad comes in two ways. I have been for almost 30 years, systematically revealing the fact about the most deviant belief system that has ever plagued humanity, called Islam. Most of non-Muslim humanity, 80% called kuffar or infidels, is ignorant of Islamic scripture, such as Quran and Hadith, that are the foundations of Sharia. And Sharia, as I said before, is the nemesis of the U.S. Constitution. Muslims and their apologists in the United States of America, such as Kerr, Isna, and others, who with malice aforethought tell Americans that jihad is a spiritual struggle to commune with Allah, the God of the Muslims, not the same as the God of the Bible, and are deliberately deceiving and misleading the American public about its actual meaning, based entirely upon the Arabic language of the Quran and Hadith. In innumerable verses in Muhammad's Quran and Hadith, jihad means only one thing: physical warfare in the cause of Allah. In Arabic, it is jihad fi sabilillah. Most human beings, whether followers of Muhammad or not, do not know that Muhammad unilaterally declared total and eternal war 1400 years ago against all unsuspecting human beings who do not believe as he does. In fact, among all Muslim scholars, jihad constitutes the unwritten sixth pillar of Islam. This ideological weapon has been used throughout Islamic history, both against the infidel kuffar as well as against other unbelieving different sects of Islam. In all of the Quranic verses, as well as in the Hadith, jihad is invariably associated with physical warfare and fighting, and not as a spiritual striving for a higher morality and or discovery of self. According to Muhammad's Quran and Hadith, jihad, which means struggle, is mandated upon his followers. This is so important. In chapter 2, Al-Baqarah, verse 216, by the way, anybody listening can Google this as I'm talking to you. The verse says, Jihad, holy fighting in Allah's cause, is ordained for you Muslims, though you dislike it. And it may be that you dislike a thing which is good for you, and that you like a thing which is bad for you. Allah knows, but you do not know. So, when Muslims tell you jihad is a struggle of spirit, it's a blatant lie because the Quran tells you otherwise. And in chapter 2, which is literally the most important chapter in the Quran, verse 216, it is says it's mandated. It is a commandment. Now I go and quote to you from the hadith, which are the traditions about Islam, the traditions about Muhammad. Sahih al-Bukhari hadith 4.50. The Prophet said, a single endeavor of fighting in Allah's cause, qital fi sabilillah, jihad, is better than the world and whatever is in it. It's unambiguous. Sahih al-Bukhari 4.73. Allah's apostle said, know that paradise is under the shade of thorns. In another hadith, which is under Sahih, Muslim 4631, it says, I heard Muhammad say, I love that I should be killed in Allah's cause, jihad. Then I should be brought back to life and killed again in jihad, and brought back to life and killed once more in jihad. Jihad manifests, you see, it is unambiguous. You cannot argue it out. But the trouble is that most of humanity never even bothers to read the Quran. And that's the tragedy. Jihad manifests itself in two ways. War jihad, like Hamas, ISIS, Boko Haram, Al-Shabaab, and thousands more of such Muslim terror organizations all over the world. That's the war jihad. The most important one is the stealth jihad. Who are the stealth jihadis? The so-called moderate Muslims or the silent majority Muslims. The best analogy and manner to visualize what I'm talking about is a spear. The tip of the spear represents the word jihadis. And the shaft of the spear is the stealth jihadis. The stealth jihadis, 90% of Muslims, are the ones who provide the war jihadis, the 10%, the terrorists, with weapons, finance, shelter, intelligence, propaganda, misinformation, disinformation, deception, and lawyers. Stealth jihad in the USA is represented by CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, the foremost purveyor of falsehood in America. Linda Sarsour, who represents CARE, who loves Sharia. Congressman Keith Ellison, ISNA, the Islamic Society of North America, and hundreds of others. Separately, ladies and gentlemen, neither the tip nor the shaft of the spear is deadly. But together, as a spear, they are a lethal weapon of war. In fact, without the stealth jihadis, the so-called moderate Muslims, war jihadis would not exist. Back to you, sir.
One of the things I wanted to talk about also is how there's an obligatory nature of Muslims to lie. I'm looking at Sharia. This is from Reliance of the Traveler, and this is R8.2. Now, R8.2 specifically mentions permissible lying. And I'm just going to read some of this, just so you can see where I'm getting into. This is all about permissible lying. When, for example, one is concealing a Muslim from an oppressor who asks where he is, it is obligatory to lie about his being hidden. Or when a person deposits an article with one for safekeeping, in an oppressor wanting to. I mean, this goes into every time there's an obligatory nature in Islam, it is permissible to lie. Guess what? Jihad is obligatory. Let's go straight to it. 09.1. Jihad is a communal obligation. Okay? So that right there tells you that they're going to lie to you. It is obligatory to them to lie to you. And this is written in their law, and you can read it in English if you simply pick up Reliance of the Traveler. It's downright freaky scary. And even, I still think it's humorous that this is the week I'd ask you to talk about this, because you know, John Guandolo published an article this week on this very same thing that we're discussing. I just, like I said, we planned this at least a month ago. At least a month ago. Because you were traveling, I believe. And I was hoping everything went well for you.
I tell you
Hello?
Something.
Yes.
Can you hear?
I can
Hello?
Hear you. I can hear you.
Paul?
Hello? Yes, I can hear you. It seems like it's going in and out. I never can tell with Black Talk Radio some days. All right, let's try again. Can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can, yes.
Oh, okay. John Guandolo, like others like him who know a lot about Islam, have been demonized, have been insulted. By whom? By CARE, by ISNA, by the Muslims. Because the Muslims, this is another part of Taqiyya. They speak about Islamophobia. Did you know that Islamophobia is an oxymoron? It's a contradiction in terms. I'll tell you why. By the way, 99% of Americans don't even know what it means. Islamophobia, when you Google it, phobia is not just fear. There are thousands of phobias. Phobia is irrational fear. Rational fear, like somebody who is afraid of mice, somebody who is afraid of heights, somebody who is afraid of space, white spaces. These are irrational fears. Arachnophobia is somebody who is afraid of spiders. They've never had any problem with a spider, but they have a fear, irrational fear of spiders. Now, when CARE says anybody who speaks about Islam is Islamophobic, it can't be Islamophobic, because Islam wants us dead. So fearing Islam is rational. Not fearing Islam would be irrational. Hence, Islamophobia is a contradiction in terms. But nobody in the news media ever said that, because they get carried away with it. They are the ones who are undermining the American public. So anybody listening, if somebody calls you Islamophobic, tell them you're stupid, because you don't know what you're talking about. Being afraid of Islam is totally rational. Since Islamophobia is irrational, it's a contradiction. Back to you, sir.
And this is what I get into. That term Islamophobia was created by the Muslim Brotherhood to shut down conversations about factual information about Islam. And they're scared. They're scared you might tell the truth. Let's get into – and that's – I've been watching some wonderful missions work by British missionaries on the streets in dangerous places. And what they have done is simply – begin conversations, and they've just confirmed, they're confirming everything you're saying, IQ. One of the things that I saw was this man just simply knew more about Islam than the Muslim people around him, who swore that the Quran was great and all this. And he asked them about a verse that had to do with Muhammad marrying his daughter-in-law. And they didn't know what to think about it. In fact, they could not understand how that would happen by the, quote, perfect man. So they were kind of astounded. Wait a minute, that never happened. But, yes, it's in your Quran. Yeah. So this is another thing about the deception. These people, I think you had said, most of them have never read the Quran because they're basically told you have to learn Arabic to read it. Am I correct?
Yes, but that doesn't mean you can't read it in English. You can read
it in
English. I agree. Yeah, but as I said, it doesn't matter what they read. They are not allowed to challenge anything. The reason Islam cannot be so-called modified, it's impossible. Look, they always tell you there was a change in the Catholic Church and the Christian Church and the Jews, that they have rationalized things. You can't rationalize anything in Islam. Because any imam, any leader in Islam who wants to change anything in the Quran will be executed. Why? Simple. According to the belief system of Islam, the Quran is the most perfect document ever created by Allah. The most perfect. Now, when you have something perfect, if you add a dot to it, you make it imperfect. If you take a dot away from it, you make it imperfect. So how can you change it? You can't change it. That's why Muslims, by the way, there are 57 Muslim majority states in the world, comprising 1.5 billion people. They are the least productive, least inventive, least creative in human history. Can anybody challenge me? The answer is no. They tell you, for example, they tell the world that hijab is part of their religion. Hijab, that's the wearing of a scarf to cover the hair. I have challenges worth $1.5 million. I've had them for 14 years. I've not lost a dime. I'm going to start them with you today. I offer anybody listening, especially a Muslim, the sum of $200,000 if they can find the word hijab in the Quran denoting the covering of a woman in any way, shape, or form. Is that fair? $200,000. I offer another $200,000 if they can find anywhere in the Quran jihad as a spiritual struggle to commune with God. That's $400,000 already. Another $200,000 if they can find the name of Jerusalem that they say is holy to them anywhere in Quran and Hadith. That's $600,000. Do I make myself clear?
This is what we need to be getting out there important. When it comes to World Hijab Day again, when that day comes around again, I'm going to have you on about the week before, and I'm going to play this for, I'm going to put it out for the teachers and the Board of Education. I'm going to sell it out, put it to the Boards of Education across the United States, because they are being flim-flammed by the Muslim population saying, well, it's in the Quran. Well, it's just like you said, he's offering $200,000. Find it. It's not there.
I'm saying to anybody, they think it's a gimmick. It's not a gimmick. I'm trying to prove a point that there is no human being on planet Earth and no intelligent life outside the solar system who can debate me the subject of Islam and win an argument with me. Sounds like a boast. Well, if it's a boast, if I'm a hot air balloon, it's very simple. Pinprick it, bring it crashing down to earth. As I said, 14 years, I've not had a single Muslim come against me. And by the way, in many of my talk shows with the United States of America, including my talk show with you today, I dare all of CARE, all of ISNA, and all the Muslims in the United States of America, any one of them or a group of them, to debate me in public in the United States of America. I dare them. Can't be done. By the way, they know who I am. They know who IQ Rasuli is. By your listeners, all they have to do is Google my name. Just Google my name, IQ Rasuli. I have 3 books published on the internet with Amazon. I don't ask you to buy any of them because I have everything else free of charge. I'm not here for money. My mission was never to do with money. My mission is to educate people. And the more people educated about Islam, the less chance that our future generations, our children and grandchildren, will suffer. It's so important. Google my name, Al Rasooli, A-L-R-A-S-S-O-O-L-I. My book are a trilogy. Same name, volumes 1, 2, and 3. Lifting the Veil, the True Faces of Muhammad and Islam. It's there. It's if you want to buy it. I don't advise you to buy it, because unless you're interested in learning, fully learning about Islam, don't bother. Because I have all my website free of charge. Everything I have is free of charge.
Can you tell them your website?
www.alrasooli.com.
Thank you. This has been outstanding, and this is... It's so important that we get this topic out, because there are politicians, there are stupid preachers, and stupid rabbis, and all these people who just won't open their eyes to the truth of what we're talking about. The factual information is there for them to obtain on their own. Do your own. Like I said, you don't have to buy a Quran. You can use it. You just pick one up on the internet for free. To find this information, you can easily search a Quran on the internet by simply typing in search terms. So why not just use the one on the internet to find out if IQ Rasooli is telling you the truth? And that's what you should be doing today. You're going to find out that he's telling you the truth. And this is all important. We've got to get this information out to people who are working in State Department, people who are working in CIA, FBI. They still don't get it. And it's not – and at this point, I'm not happy with Trump, because he did an iftar dinner. He didn't invite the prominent members of the North American Muslim Brotherhood. They got ignored, and they had a tiff about it. Too bad for them. But I think he was just thumbing his noses at the reason to have that iftar dinner. The way I perceive things was to purposely thumb his nose at the Muslim Brotherhood leaders in the United States.
Absolutely.
And I don't think that was – I'm sorry. What did you say?
Right, because he didn't invite anybody from CARE.
It was all of the North American Muslim Brotherhood groups he did not ignore. He ignored.
Exactly. It was a point. The point.
MPAC, nobody got an invite. Triple IT didn't get an invite. And, yeah, it was. I think it was a purposeful slam. I know who you are. So that's the – I know he didn't do one last year, but I think that was the purpose of this meeting, this iftar. I don't agree with doing it, but I do understand his reasoning.
But you're absolutely right. You don't agree. I don't agree, but I understand it from the political point of view. I understand it from the point of view of how to put a dagger in the earth. The only way that America can redeem herself is to outlaw CARE completely. By the way, people ask me, what do we do with Muslims? Well, let me ask you a question. Can a Christian or a Jew or a Hindu or a Buddhist pray in Saudi Arabia or Kuwait in their temples? The answer is no. Do you know that the churches that were conquered by the Muslims in the last 100 years, you cannot rebuild them when they fall apart? Look what's happening in Egypt. The Coptic Church, the Copts are the Christians of Egypt. They are not even allowed to rebuild a dilapidated church. Because under Islam, oh, by the way, before I forget, it's very important. Google the Omar.
Can you repeat that, please?
I'm trying to figure it out. It's not a chapter. There were rules and regulations in Islam in the 8th and 7th centuries, which made clear how Muslims treat Christians and Jews and others who are subservient to them. It's called the Chapter of Omar. I'm trying to figure out where it was. Hold on. Let me find it, if I can.
Okay. It's called the Charter of Omar.
I just got it now. It's called the Charter of Omar. If you Google it, it's mind-boggling. Christians, Jews, Buddhists, or Hindus had maybe 26 instructions on how to behave with Muslims. They were not allowed to build any new chapter, any new mosques or, sorry, not mosques, churches and synagogues. They were not allowed to wear the same as the Muslims wear. They were not allowed to wear, to ride on horses, because the horse is a noble animal and the Christians and Jews are inferior. And the Christians and Jews had to pay jizya. How many Americans know about jizya? Jizya is not a tax. They call it a tax. It's not a tax. That's another deception. Jizya was a penalty paid by Christians and Jews for not converting to Islam. And invariably, this jizya was 50 to 60% of their income. This is how Islam became 1.5 billion. Islam.
The Pact of Umar, you paid jizya to be allowed to live. You pay it so you can live.
Yes. The Charter of Umar. That's exactly what it is. All I'm asking people listening, you don't have to go too far. Just Google what I'm telling you. Google the Quran and read chapters 2 to 9. 2.5 hours maximum. Google the Charter of Umar. It takes you maybe 15 minutes to read. And it will make you so angry, you will understand Islam in 15 minutes. You don't even need to read the Quran after that. It is so despicable. The humiliations against Christians, Jews, and Buddhists and Hindus, that means all non-Muslims, is so egregious. It's so demeaning. It's mind-boggling. And yet, we have, as you said, stupid rabbis, stupid priests talking about Islam. There is no such thing as Islam.
Once you start talking that, you better not call yourself a Christian, because I will slam you myself. I'm sorry. I'll confront you personally with Bible verses that will. If it was up to me, I'd be going, and I had the cash, I'd be going to each one of those places and demanding the removal of the preacher. Because that has nothing to do with reality.
No. These people are criminal. Any priest, any rabbi who thinks they can make peace with Islam should be put against the wall and shot. I know it's an extreme answer to it. But I mean, I have to say that, because they are misleading their congregation. They are deceiving their congregation worse than the Muslims are doing. Worse. Linda Sarsour, you know about her?
Yes, Miss Cockroach.
Yeah.
Yes.
The one who has the hijab, and she says she's a proud Sharia obedient. By the way, since Sharia obedient, and Sharia is the nemesis of the American Constitution, then she has admitted that she is an enemy of every American who is not a Muslim. She has admitted publicly, as a Sharia-compliant woman, that the American Constitution is null and void to her. And yet not a single American, not a single reporter, not a single politician, and not a single anybody confronted her with this. Not one. 330 million, and not one stood up and said, "Hey, listen, you're a scumbag. You're a traitor."
We did have a politician in Michigan. He's running for governor of Michigan, and he did stand up, did call out another, not necessarily her, but called out people who were endorsing her and saying what she said was correct, who are also Muslim, Sharia-compliant Muslims, and running for governor of Michigan. So
yeah,
this is a big, big worry that we have right now. There are questions on if there's a couple of federal positions and a couple of governorships that are up for grabs, and Muslims are running for these positions. And like you said, we have a few right now, but unfortunately, it's kind of late in the game. But I don't care, as long as it's starting. And that's the insanity of it.
With all due respect, we are not late in the day in America. You're late in the day maybe in Europe, but not in America. You're only at the beginning. Because the Muslim population in America is 3%. They are nothing at the moment. It will be 5, 7, 10%, then you have a problem. At the when Keith Ellison became congressman, he swore on the Quran. The instant he swore on the Quran and not on the Bible, he is the enemy of the United States of America. I don't care. Another $200,000 says, nobody can prove me wrong on this. That's $800,000 for tonight.
I want to... Go ahead, please.
No, I mean, this is the tragedy. You and I are telling the American people the truth. The truth. Not lies. Not misrepresentation. The truth. And yet, we have our leaders, the elites, are the criminals. I'm not talking about Donald Trump and his administration. No. Donald Trump came by the will of God. I'm not even a religious person. But I'm telling you, he came by the will of God to save Western civilization. And again, $200,000 says no one can come against me, debate me the subject, and win. That's $1 million now.
I want to say thank you for joining us, IQ. We've had a great, we had a rough start with Blog Talk Radio, but this has been a powerful hour. With a topic of deception, my suggestion, go back, re-listen to this. Follow IQ Razuli. His website was actually written into the chat room, so if you need to go find that, it's ALRASSOOLI.com. Go there. Buy his books off Amazon. I will say buy them. IQ may say you don't need to, but if you want to be informed, I've read two of them, and they are outstanding. And I want to say thank you for putting them together. There are people in the chat room who are saying thank you. You're always a treat. We definitely have to have you back again.
If you do want me back, email me. You know my email.
Yes, I will.
gmail.com.
Yes, I will. Thank you very much for joining us. And we're going to head. I'm sorry, we couldn't hear you.
I said, God bless you and God bless America.
Thank you. God bless. We'll see you soon.
You take care.
Wow. I tell you, this is the kind of stuff we need to get into. To public schools as well. We've got to re-educate our teachers. So when we teach about Islam, we teach what I've been saying all for years now. There is six pillars, not five. That is a deception. Why do we teach there is five? Again, because we've allowed Muslims to tell us they believe when they are under an obligation to lie to us. Where do I find that information? Where did I find out there's a sixth pillar? Reading Islamic sources, reading people who are great and fantastic researchers that on this topic. I was mind blown when I learned this. It devastated everything that I had taught because, I teach history to kids in high school. One of the obligations of that is I have to teach, when I teach Global 9, I have to teach about the different religions. And we are actually under directions on what to teach on this topic. And that's where things get difficult. What are we taught to teach? What do we have choices? And the answer is no. So the truth on that has to come out. And we have to work on this. I want to get into what I considered the horrific stories, but I want to start with a couple news stories that bother me, and they're specifically on Ramadan. And I'm going to read, the first one is kind of mild. This comes from the personal blog of Mateen Elas, and it was published June 6th. Ramadan, if I can't eat, neither can you. Every religion encourages fasting as a form of spiritual discipline, but only one, to my knowledge, requires it publicly of every adherent for 1 month of the year. Now, let's be honest here. This is a small, short fast. Why do I say that? This fast is only during daylight. So, under Christianity, we might not consider this a fast. Under Judaism, they might not consider it a fast, depending on who you talk to. So this is kind of interesting. I want you to think about that. I'm going to go back to the article. Exceptions are made for... I'm getting back into the article. The religion, of course, is Islam. The month of fasting is Ramadan, the ninth month of Islam's lunar year. While exceptions are made for those in hardship, the elderly, the pregnant, the seriously ill, those traveling, and, of course, menstruating women who are too unclean for their fasting to be acceptable to Allah, but who must make up their lost days in the month after Ramadan. All other Muslims are expected, required to fast, and in Muslim countries, the social and legal pressure to conform is intense. Even non-Muslims are expected to refrain from eating or drinking in public, so as not to aggravate Muslims. This expectation reflects the Islamic mindset that the world must conform to Muslim ways. In Muslim-majority countries, this is not surprising. But the West is now discovering that Muslims are increasingly demanded special treatment in the way of concession so that they can practice their faith requirements with little or no problem. If accommodation is needed, the world must bend to Muslim practice, not the other way around. We have seen this with Muslim factory workers who demand time off from the production line, even if it disrupts companies' efficiency, just so they can pray at their mandatory prayer times within the prescribed periods of Sharia law. By the way, Sharia law permits Muslims to make up prayers that circumstances force them to miss. But the Muslims will not share this with their employers, as they wish the non-Muslim boss to bow to the rhythms of Islamic life. We are seeing the same reality of Western concessions to Muslim sensibilities during Ramadan. If there are Muslims around, then eating and drinking must be banned, and everyone is inconvenienced equally. For example, on Friday, May 25th, in a refugee camp on the Greek island of Lesbos, a group of Arab Muslims attacked a group of Kurds, also Muslim, based on an allegation that the Kurds were not fasting during Ramadan. 17 of them were injured. Last week, a Muslim resident of Scotland named Payham Mustafa penned a public letter posted to Facebook in which he argued that the Quran never prescribed a ritual fasting, and indeed the ritual fasting of Ramadan is another detrimental facet of religion and no part of Islam. A number of incensed commentators insulted him as a kafir, a slur used for disbelievers, and threatened him with beheading if he didn't recant and remove the post. On May 24th, Interior Ministry of Iraq issued a public notice that it would take legal measures against people publicly breaking their fast during daytime and refer them to the judiciary. Last month in Germany, Muslim parents complained to educational authorities that their children should not be made to go basically to the cafeteria during this time, that they should get special breaks, not to be tested. And this is just disgusting. Palestinians, let me go down to the next one. Netherlands, a Muslim politician, Tofiq Dibi, posted a photo of a sniper at a window, implying he would pick off Dutch people enjoying drinks on open terraces during daylight hours during Ramadan. He later claimed it was only a joke. As a sign of abject dimitude, non-Muslim submission to Muslims demands. Someone at the Oregon State University posted a whiteboard message near the library entrance. Ramadan Mubarak. Try to avoid eating in shared spaces, especially if your food has a strong smell. Thanks for being considerate. Of course, showing consideration for others is a wonderful thing and should be encouraged. The problem is the thought of accommodations is a one-way street. Fasting Muslims should show consideration for non-fasters by avoiding areas where food and drink are normally present so as not to disrupt the routines of others. Interestingly, Jesus had a bit of guidance for his followers when it came to fasting. As he said concerning almsgiving and prayer, fasting was a practice to be done in private before God, not publicly, as a way of eliciting admiration from others. Here's what he said. This is from Matthew 6:16-18. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. In other words, no one else should know if and when you fast. You should not make a big deal about it. In fact, you should present yourself to the world in such a way that no one would guess you were up to it. If any accommodations are to be made, they are to be made by the disciple who is fasting, not by the world around them. Your Father will see and know what you are doing, and his approval is all that matters. I want to stop there. This article is outstanding. If you can give her, this woman, your kudos, Mateen. Again, this comes from Mateen Elas, WordPress.com. That's mateenelass.wordpress.com. Outstanding article. Now we get into what has me upset this week. This is the first of a couple articles. I only have printed out one. I started out the show talking about how Ramadan is being used to allow men to kill their daughters. And here's one article. This was in, this is an RT.com, RussiaToday.com. Indian man slaughters four-year-old daughter to appease God. This was published June 10th. An Indian man slaughtered his four-year-old daughter to appease Allah through sacrifice, local media reports. He later told police that Satan made him slit his child's throat. This chilling story occurred in Jodhpur on Thursday when Nawab Ali Qureshi, 26, decided to make a sacrificial offering to God during the Muslim holy month of Ramadan, local media report. On that day, Qureshi bought some sweets and lured his daughter, Rizwana, who at the time was staying at her grandmother's place, into his house. Late at night, the man took Rizwana to a room on the ground floor, cited verses from the Quran, and slit her throat. Jodhpur police official Rajan Dushant told the Times of India he then went back to sleep. Qureshi's wife, Shabana, woke up early in the morning to find the lifeless body of her daughter lying on the veranda. Police searched the crime scene and summoned Qureshi for questioning. At first, a man who runs a meat shop tried to convince his kin that a cat may have killed her, but his wife filed a murder complaint against an unidentified person. During the investigation, Qureshi even eventually confessed to the murder. He said, "I love my child more than my own life. I offered my daughter as a sacrifice." Police quoted the man as saying this, according to Hindustan Times. Human sacrifice has been no... I'm just going to leave that alone. There was another murder this week. A man killed his another young daughter using the excuse that he was fasting. for Ramadan and he couldn't control his behavior. We just had someone on this show to discuss Islamic gender apartheid. And we're reading articles coming out in the news that do nothing but show the plight of children, female children, how they're being treated like cattle, killed, pleasure of their parents, excuses. Read the articles yourself. That does get me. I'm sorry, and I'm gonna always get upset when I hear about kids getting killed. And it's, I have to admit, it's hard to go on, but trying to get into this again. Okay, we get back to the articles I did want to get into, starting with the United States again. Just a second, let me get there. Okay, here we go. And I got to leave some of these hot articles out. Okay, this is from UPI. New York man gets 15 years for supporting Islamic State. Now, before I read this article by Ray Downs, again, published June 12th, I do want to tell you, I don't think anybody should be charged with anything less than treason or sedition at the least for supporting the Islamic State. The Islamic State is identified as an enemy of the United States. If you are supporting, aiding, or abetting an enemy, the charge is treason. That is the correct charge. This man is getting off easy. A New York man who showed interest in supporting Islamic State was sentenced to 15 years in prison. Arafat Naghi, 47, of Lackawanna, New York. There's another one of the Lackawanna Muslims. First came onto FBI's radar back in 2014 when an acquaintance called the law enforcement agency to say it was common for Naghi to get into verbal arguments over his jihadi beliefs. And further investigation revealed that he pledged allegiance to the Islamic State, which is another word for that is abaya. Investigators learned that the defendant traveled to Turkey on two occasions in October 2012 and July 2014 with the intention of meeting with members of Islamic State, prosecutors said in a statement. Prior to traveling to Turkey, the defendant purchased a large number of military combat items, including a tactical vest, army combat shirt, body armor, shahada flag, combat boots, backpack, burn kit, hunting knife, machete, and night vision goggles. Once in Turkey, Naghi purchased a SIM card and activated a Turkish cell phone number. The statement continued. Facebook messages showed that the defendant contacted other individuals who were prepared to help the defendant enter Syria to join ISIS and exchange Turkish cell phone numbers. In addition, evidence seized from the defendant's electronic devices showed that the defendant, while in Turkey, was researching how to travel from Istanbul to cities close to the Syrian border. Interviews with the acquaintance in 2015 indicated that Naghi hadn't changed his views and was angry about the United States' support of the Saudi-led war against Houthis rebels in Yemen. At his sentencing hearing on Monday, Naghi told U.S. District Judge Richard A. Akara that he wanted nothing to do with violence committed by Islamic State, the Buffalo News report. Remember, we just talked about deception. He's allowed to lie. So is this the truth? Again, with jihad being obligatory, was he telling the truth? And that's important to understand. Nobody's going to tell the press this. This is the stuff that gets me angry because nobody, I mean, the press has a public obligation, as far as I'm concerned, to get that information out. And they're not doing that. That's what really ticks me off. They're not sharing this truth. Okay. Next article. And I find this article extremely important. Came out from a couple sources. One is the Jewish News Syndicate. The other is the Investigative Project on Terrorism. And A.J. Cachetta is a principal lecturer at RIT, Rochester Institute of Technology, and a Ginsberg Ingerman Fellow at Middle East Forum. I have to run into AJ Cachetta in one of these days because she lives in my city, in my area. If you're teaching at Rochester Institute of Technology, you're not far from me. It's less than, you know, 15 miles maybe. I've got to run into this person. So this article, AJ Cachetta, MESA, M-E-S-A, we're going to talk about what it is, opposes Anti-Semitism Awareness Act. No surprise here. Why does the Middle East Studies Association, a nonprofit academic organization that says it commends efforts to combat discrimination and harassment against Jewish Muslims, Sikh, and other students on U.S. college campuses, oppose the latest effort to crack down on anti-Semitism? In response to the near doubling of anti-Semitic incidents for the second year in a row, Congress has drafted the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act of 2018. Or MESA's president and executive director responded with a sophomoric letter to the House and Senate Judiciary Committees dated June 4th, 2018, warning that the law will have a chilling effect on free speech and hinting that mysterious forces outside of academia are behind it. Yet both the House H.R. 5924 and Senate 2940 versions of AAA do nothing more than provide the Office of Civil Rights a way to identify and evaluate anti-Semitic incidents on college campuses across Title VI of the Civil Rights Act, which requires schools receiving federal funds to prevent harassment based on race, color, or national religion. MESA's charge that the law hinders constitutionally protected free speech and academic freedom rights at institutions of, okay, get this, they're trying to tie in academic freedom rights to anti-Semitism. How is anti-Semitism part of an academic freedom right? That's insane. This tells you what I keep saying. Islamic people who claim to have achieved a master's in Islamic theology or anything have little scholarly ability. Why is that? Because they're not allowed to question. They don't critically examine anything unless it's not talking about Islam. They cannot critically evaluate their own faith, so how can they critically truly understand critical analysis? This is a scary factual truth. We have to get going on this. I am actually running down time, so I cannot finish this article, but I do want to quickly, there is just so many articles out there, so I'm just going to say, please go read the article by AJ Cachetta at the Investigative Project on Terrorism. Trying to get to the ones I think that are extremely important, and I'm betting Kel covered this one, but I do want to cover it again, just in case you weren't on listening yesterday. Warmington, B'nai B'rith files police complaint over Saturday's Al-Quds Hate Festival. This is in Toronto, people, right across the pond from me. This was written in the Toronto Sun by Joe Warmington, published June 10th. Ontario's next premier has denounced racist and anti-Semitic park Saturday and vowed it won't happen again on his watch. Blatantly racist or anti-Semitic ideology should never be permitted on the grounds of Legislative Assembly of Toronto, of Ontario, or anywhere else in our province. The soon-to-be 26th premier tweeted the day after the Al-Quds Day rally and march, which began at Queen's Park and made its way to the United States Consulate on University Avenue. There was a Hezbollah flag on display, complete with a picture of an assault rifle. There were signs calling Jewish people racist, partaking B'nai B'rith Canada is filing a police complaint. The annual Al-Quds Day Hate Fest is a stain upon Toronto's open and tolerant image, said Michael Mustine, chief executive officer of B'nai B'rith Canada Sunday. particularly observed is the fact that rally attendees, most of whom come from outside of the city, can shut down parts of downtown Ontario and distract hundreds of police officers for more important work without paying any fees whatsoever. In addition to several concerns, the police complaint centers around Sheikh Shafiq Huds calling for the eradication of Israelis and Zionists at Saturday's Al-Quds Day march. Inciting, this is incite to riot people. If anybody was injured, if any Jewish person was injured as a result of this, this man should be jailed. This is unfreaking believable. And this information, like I said, there's just so much this week. I have tons of stories I haven't even gotten to. Let me just read some of the headlines I want you to pay attention to. One comes from Bright. Islam means submission. Will you submit or resist? Baton Waters, Kassam at Freedom, Free Tommy rally. Get out there, people. Express the truth about free. We need to free Tommy. Call your politicians. Call your congressmen, your senators. Why am I saying to do this? The more pressure we put, I'm not saying do not send them an email. You actually have to physically call them. Talk to a human being. Don't leave a message. Talk to a human being. Get more people in your area to call. The more people that call, the more influence you have. That's what we need to do. Iraqi refugee. This is from Telegraph. Iraqi refugee who stayed in Kali jungle, accused of being an ISIL executioner after dramatic arrest. Okay, think about this. This was in France, and this came from the Telegraph. Another one, deported Moroccan, hospitalized for cops. 20-year-old Moroccan migrant had served two deportation orders, injured four police so badly they had to be hospitalized. Yeah, let's let more migrants in. Insane. How about this one? And this one is really upsetting. I'm going to have to read this as a whole. This is by Robert Spencer. France Muslim rapper with Jihad album to perform at site of Jihad massacre. This came out June 11th. For Laurent Wauquiez, the president of the Republicans, this announcement is a sacrilege for the victims of dishonor, a dishonor for France. The rapper Medina's... Okay, here's the article. It comes from Le Figaro, and it's translated in the Jihad Watch's article. The rapper Medina's concert at Bataclan have triggered controversy. Right-wingers and right-wing politicians find the rapper's lyrics provocative. His album is called Jihad. The politicians promised to do everything possible to prevent the concert from taking place in the Bataclan in October. Since the announcement of the concert by Medina in the Bataclan Paris, the controversy has grown. Elected officials from La Rem, LR, Rassemblement National are getting together to protest against the show, which is scheduled for October. The rapper sparked a controversy in 2015 with this song, Don't Lake, published a week before the attack against Charlie Hebdo. On the Twitter social network on Sunday, the Bataclan and hashtag Bataclan and hashtag Medina hashtags have been widely used. A petition launched on exchange.org by Gregory Roos, former departmental delegate of the FN in the Alpes de Haute province, was signed Sunday by 8,600 people. The cause of the revolt, the rapper's words. In 2015, in his song Don't Lake, he declares, "Let's crucify secularists," as in Golgotha. Polygamy is better than the friend, Strauss Kahn. And I put fatwas on the head of the idiots. Medina is also the author of an album entitled Jihad, The Biggest Struggle is Against Oneself. How about another one? Sacrilege for the victims. And this is, why would this even be a discussion? It should be an easy answer, people. And yes, Ramadan, Bamathon did occur. there has been many bombings. And the most recent one was on a Jerusalem Post covered. An explosive device, however, was neutralized near the tomb of the patriarchs in Hebron. This was in the Jerusalem Post. It's just so many killings. Over 500 people killed for the pleasure of Ramadan. The one article I did not get to that I did want to get to, I'm going to recommend to everybody. Please go read Adam Credo's article with the Washington Free Beacon. It was published on June 8th. Iran admits to facilitating 9/11 terror attacks. Now, here's what I say with that. I'm not going to get into reading this one, but I do want to comment on this one. If President Obama was aware of any of this information before he signed a treaty, that actually makes him guilty of treason, and he should suffer the consequences. Understand that if he had any knowledge of Iran taking part in planning or facilitating the 9/11 attackers, then he should be facing charges of treason. Again, if anybody can prove that he had that knowledge, then there is no question as to whether he committed treason in this case. I do consider the whole not handing the treaty over to the Senate an act of treason, among other things. But this is the guy that was in charge of this country. Insane. I do want to thank Bigfoot, Bob Evers, Flycatch, Gary Comfer, Guest 253, Kel, Fritzy, and Annie of Southern Sense Talk Radio for listening tonight. This has been an outstanding show. I want to thank all those who are here. I do want to tell you of the lineup that I didn't get to earlier. We have some outstanding shows out there. And tomorrow we have the Forum, which is one of some of our best shows that are being played. And my show will be moving to Thursday on the 28th. Going to Friday, we have Dr. Carl Goldberg. He does a morning show. Please listen in. He does some amazing work on this, and he does a show called The Logic of Islam. Going on to Saturday, we have Usama Dakdak, who is an evangelist preacher, reaches out to Muslims, debates them publicly. You can invite him wherever, and he will show. Please do listen to him. And on Sunday, we have Eric of Kafiristan. You need to listen to this man. This young man has a wealth of knowledge, and I'm hoping that he continues to have some. He has such an outstanding amount of knowledge on Islam, and he explains things simply. And that's why I say listen to him. Going on Monday, we have Alan Vito, the great radio man of Global Patriot Radio. Come listen to their Mamma Mia No Sharia show. It's one of the outstanding shows that we have. And then coming back, we have Kel Fritzy, the beautiful Kel Fritzy on Infidels Are Watching. Now, Kel is one of my friends from across the pond, and I tell you, she has some of the best guests, and she's introduced me to some of them. I have to say, it's an honor to have worked with her, so please do listen. And if you come back next Friday, it's one of my last Fridays. Come back next Wednesday. It's one of my last Wednesdays, and we'll be going on to Thursdays after that. Thank you all. God bless. I want to thank you for listening. And here we go away with Toby Keith.
American girls and American guys, we'll always stand up and salute. We'll always recognize when we see your glory flying. There's a lot of men dead, so we can sleep in peace at night when we lay down our heads. My daddy served in the army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard till the day that he died. He wanted my mother, my brother, my sister, and me to grow up
happy in the land of the free. Now this nation that I love is falling under attack. A mighty sucker punch came flying in from somewhere in the back. Soon as we could see clearly through our big black eye, man, we lit up your world like the 4th of July. Here Uncle Sam put your name at the top of his list, and the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist, and an eagle will fly, and it's gonna be here when you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell, and it'll feel like the whole of the red, white, and blue. Justice will be served and the battle will rage. This big dog will fight when you rattle his cage. You'll be sorry that you mess with the U.S. of A. Cause we'll put a boot in your ass, it's the American way. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list, and the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist, and the eagle will fly, and it's gonna be hell when you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell, and it'll feel like the whole wide world is raining down on you. All brought to you courtesy of the red, white, and blue.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.